Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Ian, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. I'm extremely glad that football's back. Let's be honest, it's been a long time. How good is it to be back around football for you, especially?
Oh, it's great. And, you know, as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm driving to Patriots camp. It's the first stop on my inside training camp tour. It's going to feature, you know, 20 stops in probably 22 days. It's a little crazy, but it's, you know, it's some of the really good stuff that we do. And we spend so much time in the off season talking about the different issues and what might happen. And now it's really good to see what is going to happen, let some of these battles play out, and you know, see who becomes the quarterback, see which coaches come under fire, see which players break out. A lot of good stuff coming, no doubt about it.
And it must be exciting to get to go and see it firsthand as well for most of these next couple months.
Well, yeah, and I think the best thing for me is, you know, I stop at each of these training camps, and, you know, you watch practice and you kind of get a snapshot of what's going on. But, you know, the best thing is you get to talk to these people. And you get to sit down with the GM and sit down with the coach and talk to a couple players, talk to a couple coordinators, and, you know, really kind of get the pulse of the place. And I think that's, you know, for me, that's really important, just to kind of check in and see what's going on. And it all kind of paints the big picture for what it's going to be like when the season begins.
Absolutely. Now, let's get on to the Texans, of course. First of all, let's start off with trades, because Cal McNair, the Texans owner, he made some very interesting comments to Sports Radio 610 earlier this week. He said that regardless of the lack of an actual GM, teams will know who to contact regarding trades should that happen. Do you see that potentially as a somewhat open invitation, an open reminder to teams that they are available for business?
I think that's one way to say it. You know, one thing about you know, the Texans, obviously, they don't have a GM. I think everyone knows, you know, what happened this past spring with their pursuit of Nick Caserio and, you know, eventually not being able to get that done and going through the season without a GM. But there are people in place to do the various jobs. I mean, it's not going to be one overarching guy in charge of everything. But, you know, there's going to be people who are tasked with doing different things. You know, for instance, there's going to be someone in charge of college scouting, and the GM would be over him. But instead, you know, he's sort of running his own shop a little bit. You know, I think there's going to be someone over trades. There's going to be Bill O'Brien, who's going to have a big say in this. And, you know, I think it's clear he's interested in wheeling and dealing, and he's interested in making trades as well. You know, it's definitely a different way of doing things. Not every team has a GM, of course, but most teams have like one point man who you can contact. For the Texans, it's going to be a little different in that for each different area, there's sort of a different person in charge. But to me, it's not something that means they're not going to be able to get, you know, they're not going to be able to get the job done.
And you mentioned, obviously, that Bill O'Brien is open to wheeling and dealing a little bit. Obviously, on that topic, there's been a few players thrown around over the last couple of days. Let's start at a running back. What can you say about can you see any potential where the Texans could potentially look to bring in, say, Melvin Gordon? Obviously, we know about his contract situation, or Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Melvin Gordon, those trades are really hard because, you know, you have a running back, a top 10 running back, who's going to command more than $10 million a year, no doubt about it. And then you trade for him. You know, there's just not a lot of teams that view that as good, realistic value. And I think for the NFL, we learned a little bit last year when Le'Veon Bell wanted to be traded and nobody traded for him. You know, and he's one of the best running backs in football, one of the best players in football, regardless of position. But it was just, you know, everyone knew he needed a new deal. And there was a big cap number associated with the franchise tag in Bell's case. And, you know, he didn't get traded. Melvin Gordon's going to face some of that. You know, for Duke Johnson, he's actually got a pretty large salary, about $4 million, for a third down running back. And I think that's, you know, certainly part of the issue is that, you know, yes, he's a good player. Yes, he would probably be productive. But what actually is the value there and does it make sense for a lot of teams, you know, to really do that? That's really the question.
So if trading for one of those guys doesn't make sense, how about someone like veteran offensive tackle Trent Williams? Obviously, we know about his situation up in Washington. Do you think there's any room there for negotiations for Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I have not heard that Washington would actually trade him. And, you know, one of the main problems there is they're in a situation where they need to win, you know, right now. And do you want to trade your franchise left tackle with a rookie quarterback in a situation where you have to win? Plus, you know, there's the health situation. And, you know, he had the cancer scare earlier in the offseason. He's had surgeries on his scalp sort of cosmetically to make sure that he's okay. I don't know that he would be cleared to play football right now, which is obviously a concern. And, you know, no team would trade for him without knowing that, you know, he'd be 100% healthy. And that's why, you know, these trades, despite some of the chatter, you know, these trades are really hard to do. They really are. And that's why in the NFL, unfortunately, you know, they rarely happen.
And then another position concern, particularly of mine, is really outside corner. I mean, there's a couple guys that you could potentially look at in that realm at this point in time. Say Patrick Peters, obviously he's suspended for the start of the season, but there have been talks of him potentially being on the move, or someone like maybe Darius Slay. Reportedly he is going to be, as far as I'm aware at least, attending training camp. What are your thoughts on one of those guys maybe being targeted?
You know, my understanding with Patrick Peterson is that, you know, he's at a point now where he believes he's going to be a member of the Cardinals for the rest of his career. And, you know, I had the owner, Michael Bidwill, tell me on the record last year that Patrick Peterson was absolutely not going to be traded. So I have not to, you know, throw cold water on any of this, but I have not been told at all that he's available. And, you know, with Darius Slay, he's in camp. He's a really good player. He's got a high salary as it is. I think the fourth or fifth highest paid corner already. And he wanted a new contract. You know, that's another one where I would be very surprised if the Lions ended up parting ways with him. Very surprised.
So obviously one of the bigger talking points from the Texans' point of view recently has been the situation surrounding Jadeveon Clowney. I know Tom Pelissero, one of your colleagues, said yesterday that all the points at the moment are pointing to him signing, reporting week one, not turning up obviously for training camp. But social media has been full of trade rumours surrounding the former first-round pick. I mean, can you see any potential for him being traded prior to the start of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the rumors, but I haven't heard anything internally either with the Texans or with any other team to make me think that, you know, those talks or any talks really got off the ground. And especially now, it's unbelievably difficult to do a deal because, you know, you trade for someone and then it would count, you know, a huge, huge $15 million or more cap number, and you're not even allowed to do a new deal. You know, so that's why it'd be really hard to trade for him. You'd have to, you know, come up with a team that'd be willing to give, you know, probably a first-round pick, plus have the cap space, plus the unknown of not knowing whether he's going to return, plus a new contract at the end of the year, or let him walk, you know, really something where, you know, I'm not at a point now where I could say any of those talks really have any credence.
No, absolutely. And what's very interesting, obviously, surrounding the situation is the repercussions that his contract negotiations may or may not have had on the Brian Gaines situation. Do you think there's any truth to the rumors that it was O'Brien who perhaps was unsure about re-signing him long-term at this point in time?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, Bill O'Brien is at a point now where he main voice when the Texans, and, you know, what he said is pretty much the way it is. And, you know, I do believe that O'Brien is in the camp where, you know, he'd like to see Clowney go out and prove it for a year. You know, be healthy, practice, be a good teammate, be productive, get a lot of sacks. I mean, all the things that you want from, you know, someone who's going to be one of your leaders, one of your highest paid guys, one of your big salary guys. You know, I think Bill O'Brien would just like to see him go out and do it again. And if it costs him in the long run, so be it. Or if they end up letting him walk and getting a third-round compensatory pick for him, you know, that's that situation as well.
Certainly, and as I mentioned, Pelissero, he commented yesterday saying that Clowney has been in contact with the Texans camp, with the coaches, the players, so he is working out, and by the looks of things, he is intending on returning week one, so that's obviously good from Houston's point of view. Looking ahead, the Texans, yes, they have a lot of cap space at this point in time, but it seems likely they're saving a lot of this for future deals. Obviously, we've got Deshaun Watson, who's coming towards the end of his contract, Will Fuller, who's well at the end of it now, DJ Reader as well is another player that comes to mind. I mean, how much do you think, what's the potential costs of re-signing these sorts of players going to look like in a year or two's time?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a good problem to have. You know, you want to be a team that has a lot of core guys who you need to re-sign, and that's why the Clowney thing is so interesting, because, you know, he's a homegrown draft pick, great player, who has not been able to be re-signed. Obviously, some questions there, but, you know, again, these are the things that you have done, you'd like to do. I think, you know, some of those guys certainly figure in their long-term plans. They'd have to sort of really dig down and see where they're at in negotiations. But I know that, you know, Chris Olsen, the cap guy, who's certainly got a loud voice now that, you know, Brian Gainey was fired, he'll be integrally involved in. You know, the Texans have done a lot of good business over the years, and I would expect them to continue to do that.
And you spoke earlier in the week about J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, they've entered camp on the PUP list, but they're both are sort of day-to-day at this point in time. Do you see either of these players as injuries that we need to look out for going forward in camp, or is that not necessarily something to be concerned about at this point in time, at least?
Yeah, I don't think that's something really to be concerned about. I mean, it's more of a precaution than anything. I think both those guys, you know, Watt with the knee and Hopkins with the ankle, I think both these guys will be fine. You just, you know, when it's this time of year and you have the opportunity to go easy on them and let them rest a little bit, you want to take advantage of that.
Certainly, especially with the likes of Watt and Hopkins. They don't want to risk anything, especially with their injury histories of late, particularly JJ's case, of course. So how about Kahale Waring, obviously rookie tight end, third-round pick this year. He's another player who's been listed as injured. Have you heard anything about him, about his situation?
That's one I have not. I have not heard that it's anything major to be worried about. I know they, as sort of a player and prospect, they really like him, and he was one of the, you know, kind of quietly rising draft guys that I think analysts were probably on early and media was on late. I know they like him a lot. I have not heard that, you know, any injury is something that's sort of worth being alarmed about.
Well, that's certainly a relief from Texans fans' points of view because, again, like you mentioned, there's a lot of buzz about him at the moment. What are your personal thoughts on him and this very young tight end group, barring Darren Fells?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they certainly have the opportunity to, you know, to be really good. And you know, finding that go-to tight end is something, obviously, from, you know, Brian's past in New England, we all know how valuable that is, how important that is. You know, he's a guy who seems like can kind of do everything. I would say he's a player that the Texans are pretty high on.
And do you think, from a tight end point of view, it's going to help the Texans that they've got Tashaun Gibson in, who's one of the better safeties in the league against tight ends, and Darren Fells, who's one of the better blocking tight ends in the league? Do you think those two guys are really going to help develop these young tight ends?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Gibson is a fascinating one because, you know, he's a rare kind of player that, you know, a rare guy in his third contract that can really, really contribute and come in and be a starter and, you know, make everyone better in practice. And that's, you know, that's what you need from rookies. You need them to come in and get tested, battle in practice, make mistakes, screw up, get yelled at, come back and do it again. You know, all of these really important things, it happens when you have competition. I would expect camp to be, you know, really, really competitive. And I'm, you know, excited to see how it goes.
Certainly, and another interesting point of view is that obviously we've got the offensive coordinator in place now, Tim Kelly, former tight ends coach last year. Do you see that possibly helping this tight end group, and do you see this offense ultimately changing a great deal under Kelly, or do you think it's still very much O'Brien's offense?
Well, it's very much O'Brien's offense, as it should be. I mean, he's the head coach, he's the man in charge, he's the guy who gets the credit or the blame. He should have his offense. You know, Kelly is interesting, though. I remember Bill O'Brien pulling me aside when we were in, we were in Indy for the combine, and pointing Kelly out and being like, this guy's going to be great. You need to get to know him. You know, like this, you know, basically, like, you probably haven't heard of him yet. He was just a tight ends coach. But trust me, this guy is great. And, you know, I think for O'Brien, that was a big move in the offseason. You know, getting an offensive coordinator, a full-time one, for the first time in a little bit. Sort of not turning over the offense, but letting him take more control. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Sounds like he's a really, really good young coach.
Certainly, and they've brought in a couple, obviously, younger coaches, first-time coaches in TJ Yates, Andre Johnson, obviously Brian Cushing, strength and conditioning as well. What do you think these additions of former players is going to have? What sort of effect is that going to have on the squad?
I'm not sure how much effect it's going to have on the day-to-day. I mean, Cushing will, you know, probably have the biggest effect. And he's, you know, he's a guy who, assuming he's as good a strength coach as he was, sort of weightlifter, fitness person, I think he'll be really good. But the thing for me is it's really just culture now. You know, it's getting some good guys in the building, kind of passing on the past of the organization and what they've been about and what happens when you win, for instance, and all those things. It's a good move for the organization. I like bringing back some of those familiar faces.
Certainly, and obviously sticking with the offense, One of the points I've seen mentioned on social media quite a bit recently is that with the success of the likes of Mahomes last year and Baker Mayfield, that Deshaun Watson's being somewhat overlooked. I remember Mike Clay pointing out the other day in particular. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that is the case? Do you think we are perhaps overlooking how good Deshaun Watson is and could be this year with this offense?
I mean, I'm not overlooking him. You know, like I think most people who know view him as one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. Obviously, Mahomes got a lot of the publicity last year, as he should have. He was a, you know, the MVP, and his team was, you know, one of the biggest stories in the NFL. But, you know, a lot of times we tend to pay attention to the things that are in front of us. And I think Mahomes was in front of us last year, and he's great, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Watson is every bit as good, every bit as talented, and you know, if things go right, could have every bit as good a year. So, you know, if you told me midseason that Deshaun Watson was an MVP candidate, I really don't think I would be that surprised, honestly.
I think it's safe to say a Texans fan will be extremely excited to hear that. But I know my personal concern with this roster isn't so much the offense or the offensive line even, because obviously we've seen their turnover there recently. For me, it's their lack of a true outside corner other than Jonathan Joseph. Obviously, they brought in Lonnie Johnson, Xavier Crawford. They brought in a couple free agents, the likes of Bradley Roby. Do you think they've got that answer in the building at this point in time in, say, Roby or Johnson, or do you think that answer is still to come?
You know, that's one I don't know. I'll be really curious to see how that goes, or if they get to, say, cut down day and say, all right, we need to make a move. I know, you know, at one point the Vikings were sort of willing to part with Trey Waynes. He's got a big salary, but, you know, is that someone the Texans go through camp and say, all right, we need to go make a move for this guy. You know, there's going to be corners available. It's just a matter of, do they want to try to trade for him or do they want to stick to what they have within? That's definitely going to be one of these storylines of training camp to see how that goes.
And other than, obviously, the aforementioned Johnson and Crawford, I mean, what are your thoughts on this batch of Texans rookies? Because the opinions from them, everyone around the league have been very, very differing so far.
Yeah, I don't know enough right now to really, you know, speak with some gravity on it. I mean, I know what we all said during the draft, but I just haven't seen enough to where I'm sort of ready to weigh in and say, all right, these guys are going to contribute, these guys are not.
Absolutely. So have you got any particular players that you think are worth keeping an eye out for down in Houston this summer and that you will particularly be looking out for?
No, I think, you know, to me, it's just, you know, I would say, you know, the left tackle position obviously is one to watch. You know, I think Howard was one of the more fascinating draft picks. That's definitely going to be one. Can he hit the ground running? Can he start from day one? You know, that's probably the biggest one. But I think mostly it's, you know, they sort of needed depth. They needed some security in a bunch of different places. How quickly could some of these rookies come in and play? I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Absolutely. And looking elsewhere, in the obviously the AFC South, how are their South rivals shaping up entering training camp? I mean, are there any particular health concerns that we need to be keeping an eye out for, or potential holdout concerns that we need to keep an eye out for?
Yannick Ngakoue with the Jaguars is a holdout. He didn't show up with his teammates, so I think that's one to watch. You know, I don't think the Titans have any. The Colts have Andrew Luck back at full health, not going to be on the PUP list. After battling that calf injury in training camp. So I think that's a really good sign. No, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's, you know, after down several years, it's probably one of the best divisions in football, and I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
Who would you, if you had to put your money on it right now, I mean, who would you put at this point in time as the favorite for the South?
Oh, man. you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking forward to finding out, though, you know, because I think the talent for the first time in a long time is really, really equal. You know, Jaguars got Nick Foles in there, kind of puts them in line with a lot of other guys, former Super Bowl MVP. I mean, I think the division is going to be awesome, and I can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Do you think at the end of the day that the Texans had one of the better or possibly even one of the weaker off seasons in that division?
Well, you know, I think some of that depends on their draft. I think free agency was fine. It wasn't, like, massive, but it was fine. You know, the GM situation certainly looms overall. But, you know, they also have really good people in there. You know, and obviously that didn't go like they planned. But, you know, they also have really, really good people in the building, really good people in the building, who are capable of doing the job that a GM would do. So, you know, when Cal McNair says they're going to be fine, they may be fine. I mean, really, really smart people in there, you know, doing good jobs. And, you know, Bazergan, Lipper, I mean, there's some really good guys. Olsen also. You know, I think the offseason was fine. They were already a team that was poised to be pretty good. So I'm fascinated to see which way they go.
So to close out, I like to throw off my guests just a little bit where I can. NFL Network obviously just announced that Rich Eisen will be presenting their Top 100 show for the centennial of the NFL. Do you think there's any chance we'll be seeing any Texans or Oilers in that list?
Oh, I'm sure. I am not even – it's so secret that you know, it's so secret that they don't even tell me, and they make sure to keep it away from me. But I would imagine you get a couple. And from what I hear, the programs are, like, fantastic. So I can't wait to watch them.
Absolutely. And I think it's safe to say that all of our fans out there will be listening in as well, and will be tuning in. And finally, obviously, we've got quite a lot of British listeners as well that I know of, there, and they will be very keen to know at this point in time, do you know if you're going to be in the UK at any point in this season, possibly even for the Texans game?
Will not be in the UK. You know, every Sunday I need to be in New York for game day morning, our pregame show. And, you know, I think that's where the priority is right now. I would love to go. I've been to one game at Wembley. It was a Patriots game, and it was one of my favorite experiences covering the NFL. It was awesome. So I'd love to be back. We just, you know, have not yet done it. I will be at Texans camp, though. I'll be going there in, I think, four or five days. So I'll make sure to give some updates whenever I can.
Ian, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you today. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
You can see Ian throughout NFL Network's Inside Training Camp live coverage, which airs from now through August 7th, starting at 9 a.m. Central. Keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL, and of course, follow Ian at Rapsheet. Thank you very much for listening.